In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the Sabbath day, and Jesus exercises his custom. He goes into his hometown synagogue, and he stands up to read. And he reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled the scroll up, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And when he sat down, all eyes were on Jesus. And then he began to speak again. He said, "Today in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled." And they all marveled at him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they thought, "This is a preacher." And they also thought, "But isn't this just Joseph's son, the hometown kid? I mean, how can the Spirit of the Lord be upon him to do these things?" And then more gracious words came from Jesus' mouth. He began to speak about his mission and ministry and how it would be like that of Elijah and Elisha. He noted how they went to the widow at Zarephath and Naaman the Syrian. And he said the ministry was going to go out and extend beyond those of the people of Israel, for the Spirit of the Lord was on him to take this preaching, this freedom, to all people. Hometown crowd didn't like that at all. They rose up in wrath against Jesus, and in their anger they drove him to the edge of their village, which was on a hill, so that they might throw him down the cliff. But Jesus passed through them and went away. His way took him to the Lake of Gennesaret, where he encountered Peter, James, and John, the fishermen, who had been out all night and caught nothing. But Jesus wanted to do some teaching, so he said, "Well, let's take your boat, push it out a little bit so I can teach." And he did. And when he was done, he looked at Peter, he said, "Let's go out to the deep. You let down the nets for a catch." And Simon Peter gave him one of those looks. "I don't tell you how to preach, chief. Don't teach me how to fish. But at your word, I will let the nets down." And when he did, the draw of fish was so great that the nets began to break and the boat began to sink. And Peter fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they got back to shore, Peter, James, and John left the boat, left everything, and followed Jesus as disciples. They traveled on. And they encountered a rich ruler who asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus pointed him to the commandments, specifically the second table of the commandments. And the rich ruler said, "All this I've kept since I was a youth." And Jesus said, "Well, you know, there's one thing you lack. Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven, then you come follow me." And he went away sad because he had great wealth. And he clung to his riches. Jesus met another rich man, a man named Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. Probably got rich through the little practice known as tax farming. You collect the tax that's due and a little something-something else for your pocket. But he beheld Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "Lord, if I've defrauded anyone, I give it back fourfold, and I'll give half my goods to the poor." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this man, for this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The crowd at the synagogue in Nazareth, Peter, James, John, the rich ruler, Zacchaeus, they all beheld Jesus, and they had very different reactions, but reactions that should come as no surprise to us based on what Simeon said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, when Simeon held the infant Jesus in his arms. He said to Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." The people at the synagogue in Nazareth beheld Jesus. The rich ruler beheld Jesus, and the thoughts of their hearts were revealed. Thoughts of anger, thoughts of murder and jealousy and hatred, thoughts of greed. Their hearts were revealed, and they fell, and they fell hard. Peter, James, John, Zacchaeus, they beheld Jesus. And to be sure, the thoughts of their hearts were also revealed. And concerning the human heart, Jesus is very clear. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. All of this came out of Peter, James, John, and Zacchaeus. And they recognized it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they were repentant. And they received Jesus. And they rose and were lifted up to be his disciples. Dear friends, in his temple, now behold him. Jesus is here for you today. Jesus is here with his body and blood. He's here in the water. He's here in the word. He's here to speak to you as he spoke to the synagogue at Nazareth, and as he spoke to the rich man, as he spoke to Peter, James, and John, as he spoke to Zacchaeus. And the thoughts of your hearts have been revealed, and your evil has been shown, and your murder, and your adultery, and your sexual immorality, and your greed, and all the rest of your sins of thought, word, and deed, your sins of omission and commission. They've all been revealed. And if you hang on to them as they did in Nazareth, and if you hang on to them as that rich man did, you will go away more than sad. You will fall with a great and mighty fall for all eternity into hell, fire, and brimstone, where the worm does not die and the fire does not go out. But there is no need for that. For you have come to his temple, as Simeon came to his temple. You have come in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who had revealed it to Simeon that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. It was the Holy Spirit who brought him to that temple that day. And when Simeon beheld Jesus, he did not do so by his own reason or strength. He beheld Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was revealed to him exactly who this Jesus is. Salvation that God has prepared in the presence of all his people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles in the glory of his people Israel. That's the Jesus whom you behold today. That's the Jesus who is here. That's the Jesus who has called you out of your sins and called you to be his disciple. And because he calls people to do that, he is a sign opposed. He was so opposed that even his own disciples betrayed him and abandoned him and denied him. He was so opposed that his own people rejected him and took him to their leaders and had them convict him as a blasphemer. So opposed that the leaders then handed him over to the Romans, who convicted him as an insurrectionist. So opposed that the Romans nailed him to a cross. And as he hung upon that cross, you could see Simeon's words written on the heart of Mary. For a sword was piercing her soul. But on that cross, he did for you what two turtle doves and a couple of pigeons could never do. He died for your sins. The blood that came from his hands and his feet and his side is the blood that washes away all your sins. To prove it, he rose again on the third day. So how beautiful is this? The Lord Jesus himself, a sign who is opposed, he falls into death, only then to rise again on the third day. And you in baptism, you fell with him in death, and you rose with him again. So in his temple, now behold him. Behold him in his body and blood. Behold him in his word. Behold him in the water. Behold him filling your life with forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Behold him raising you up to be his own beloved child. Behold him, for he beholds you. And on the last day, he will raise you up, and you will depart this world in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.